This portion of Grassroots Marketing on Location on Cannabis Radio is presented by Norick Risk. Creating unique insurance solutions for the hemp and cannabis industry is a passion of Norick Risk. Rooted in over 100 years' experience, placing custom, extra-large insurance programs worldwide. Learn more at norickrisk.com. CannabisRadio.com presents Grassroots Marketing on Location, featuring exclusive one-on-one interviews with those impacting and evolving the cannabis industry. Now, let's go on location to the 2016 NCIA Cannabis Business Summit in Oakland, California.
Welcome back, everyone. We are at the National Cannabis Industry Association's Cannabis Business Summit here in Oakland, California. Joining me at our desk, we've got Ian Sieb from Denver Relief Consulting. Hello, Ian.
Hey, Russ. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here. And what an exciting time to be in Oakland, California. We're a few months away from voting on marijuana legalization here in California. Any predictions? How do you think things are going here?
My predictions are that California is soon going to see some regulations in their state, and that the nation's largest market is finally going to have an opportunity to thrive.
Yeah, and any idea, I mean, you can give us some of the numbers of how big this market is. I mean, we've got $1 billion in the four states currently, right?
We had $996 million in Colorado alone last year.
Oh, okay.
So we can essentially say Colorado by itself is a $1 million industry.
$1 billion, yeah.
Yeah.
So California, what are we looking at here as far as dwarfing the Colorado market?
You know, I'm not an economist, but the numbers that I've heard have been talking about 20 to 30 times the Colorado market, $28, $32 billion industry.
Wow.
And that's, from what I understand, at least from what I've learned in the past few days, that's really the volume of wholesale cannabis that's available in the Tri-County area now.
Wow. This is
just in wholesale.
This is just amazing. And there's so many people here. I was just listening to Steve D'Angelo speak, and he asked the audience, how many of you have just gotten into the cannabis industry in the past year? Half the hands went up. So this is just an amazing opportunity for people. You're working with Denver Relief Consulting. What are some of the things you guys offer as far as consulting services?
Well, our consulting services are all over the place. We've been very successful in working on merit-based applications in states where there's a finite number of licenses and there's a merit-based system where they award
medical
license.
Marijuana, kind of.
Yeah, well, it's happened out in the East Coast. Massachusetts was one place where they had merit-based applications. Our success has muchly been recently in Nevada and Illinois. Mm. And so we've been working on a case-by-case basis with clients. We don't work with the majority of people that are seeking us out for assistance with applications. Additionally, we have a robust ancillary division where we work with and help ancillary businesses get established so that they can become fairly prominent in the space, have a good market share. We're doing a lot of work with a group called the Marijuana Policy Group, which is providing a lot of economic reports of financial feasibilities, patient populations, population analyses in these new and emerging states. So we've done it all, soup to nuts, and we feel like we're prepared to help those who are looking to get into the industry, no matter what aspect of it that they're looking to get into.
And speaking of getting into the industry, you have on the desk here a product that I deemed my favorite product of, I think it was the Florida event.
It was in Orlando.
Yeah, at the Orlando event, the Vapor Slide. And this is a perfect example of somebody with a great idea who's kind of new to the industry, who's getting the right sort of consulting and the right sort of help. Tell people the story.
Sure. So this product that you're referring to is called the Vapor Slide, and it's really the first standard cartridge-based vaporizer that is to be able, it has dual use in that somebody can simply suck on the end of it with the mouthpiece and inhale the vapor directly, or they can invert the entire vaporizer, stick it in the downstem of a water pipe or a bong, and inhale through a traditional bong, which up until this point I have yet to see in this industry anybody who's using a vape, essentially an e-cig, in a bong. And this project, the young man who's working on this is a man named Brendan Gillis, who's out of Atlanta, Georgia. And Brendan started his company with, I think, $20,000, put it all on his credit card, designed this all himself, had it made, manufactured in China, and was backpacking, selling them out of backpacks.
Wow.
And he learned about Canopy Boulder, which is an accelerator program based out of Boulder, Colorado, where if you have a unique and novel idea and something that is yet to be a part of the cannabis industry, have the opportunity to pitch it to the people at ArcView and join their accelerator. It's, I believe, a three-month program where they provide about $20,000. Not about, they provide you $20,000 to get your company started. You give them a percentage of the business, and then they curate and they teach you all aspects of creating a cannabis business, going through funding, helping with a business plan, giving you a space where you can go and work every day, giving you access to mentors. And so I met Brendan through that program. He reached out to Denver Leaf Consulting, and like I just said, we turned down the vast majority of clients that want to work with us. Same thing happened there. He wanted to work with us. I said, now is not the time. He gave me several reasons why he thought that we should work with him. And I look for the fastest way to say no to any idea or any product, to save my time and to save an entrepreneur's time. And with this product, I just thought it was new, unique, and novel. And so I've worked with him and mentored him. He put together a great presentation, pitched at ArcView this week, won the best pitch contest there, won $50,000 through Breeze Capital, and became the 1,000th member of NCIA this week as well. So he's had a lot of really small but meaningful successes this past week. And because he was the 1,000th member, I had an opportunity to announce yesterday on stage that he was the 1,000th member, and the entire crowd got to see it. And he's raising, I think, about $400,000 right now at a $3.5 million valuation. But it speaks to how quickly an idea can come to fruition in this industry.
So you get to hear a lot of ideas, a lot of pitches. For the listeners out there that think they've got the greatest idea, what do you not need to hear any more of?
What do I not need to hear any more of? I don't need to hear any more of, we have the finest cannabis in the land, and we are making the finest edibles out of the finest cannabis. I've seen enough concentrate containers that are very similar to one another to last my entire lifetime. I can tell you what I would like to see.
Sure, yeah.
I would like to see new and more novel child-resistant packaging. Mm-hmm. I believe that right now the industry has a way to go, and I'm sick of seeing the same flip-top containers that virtually everybody has. I think there's a lot of companies out there that have an opportunity to present new and unique packaging to the industry. MMC Depot is a great example. They've been working in the industry for several years and seem to get the latest and the greatest when it comes to packaging. I think that there is an opportunity to create a line of healthier edibles. I think that right now we see the traditional cookies, brownies, and mm-hmm. we're starting to see more infused product manufacturers emerging that are using better products from the beginning. The cost is not in the cannabis, but the cost is in the hazelnuts, you know, because
sure.
the organic hazelnuts are so expensive that's going to drive the cost up. I think that the time is ripe to see these more mature products. I think that there's a great opportunity to appeal to women still. I think that they're not, they have the buying power in most households. And I think that people are starting to recognize that that women, rightly so, control the pocketbooks in many homes, and that we need to have a robust supply of products that are available to meet the needs of that pretty strong demographic when it comes to cannabis.
Yeah, we're already seeing the breakout with Whoopi and Maya and their products. And I think there's also a way that we can start getting some products with women in mind that aren't necessarily just products for women.
Sure, you know, absolutely.
Vapor pen designs, perhaps, that have different things that will appeal to women than typical male audience, perhaps.
There's certainly products that are available that should be available for both men and women. That, you know, it doesn't need to be pink to appeal to a female. Women have pretty discerning tastes and pretty advanced palates and probably more so than most men. And I think that the idea that it needs to be female specific is I think that there's some validity to that, but certainly the opportunity to share products with your husband or your spouse or your partner is something of desire as well.
And I like your point about the childproof containers, because I know in Oregon and most of the states, they have some law about you have to dispense in a childproof container. And I always end up getting these pill bottles, these big, tall pill bottles with the push down, twist kind of thing.
Push and twist or the squeeze tops.
Yeah, and I can't fit two or three of those in my pocket. It's not going to work. So if we had something that was flat, that was easily portable, but still childproof, I think someone could make a mint with that.
And not only that, Russ, it's also a huge waste on resources. It's huge, a huge hit to the environment. All these plastic containers that are being used one time, because of the color combinations in them, many times are not recycled. In Colorado, you can't bring in a container that has material in it, so somebody would need to clean it out before they brought it back in to recycle. There's a couple companies that are starting to do that are trying to recycle, but you know that presents its own challenges. When you go to a pharmacy, do you recycle your prescription bottles? No. Do you want your medicine in a container that somebody else's medicine was previously in? Probably not. Right. And so it's finding that middle ground where it makes sense to recycle the materials, yet giving somebody the sterility of having a clean container in which their medicine or their cannabis is going into.
Ian Sieb, Denver Relief Consulting, one of the most knowledgeable people here in the industry. Give folks some contact info if they'd like to learn more.
Sure. So denverrelief.com, denverreliefconsulting.com are two websites where you can reach us. Twitter at 303-420-PLAN. It's 303-420-PLAN is our Twitter handle. And you can send me an email, Ian at denverreliefconsulting.com.
Ian, thanks for joining us here again, and have yourself a great show.
Thanks so much for having me, Russ. Take care.
All right, stay tuned, everyone. We'll be back with more from the National Cannabis Industry Association's Cannabis Business Summit.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Grassroots Marketing on location, only on CannabisRadio.com.